Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and happy Sunday. Welcome to the talk show version of What is Etiquette Anyway? I'm your host, Donna Paige Riley, also known as the Etiquette Lady. I certainly hope you're having a great weekend, and thank you so much for taking time out of your Sunday evening to join us. Now, let me give you our live call-in number. It's area code 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295. And just in case you can't get through, feel free to email, and you can email directly at info@pagesetiquette.com or D as in Donna, Manners, at bellsouth.net. Now, I'm the owner of Pages Etiquette Seminars, which is a company that specializes in both personal as well as professional development training. And I'm also the author of What is Etiquette Anyway?, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. And some of the contents of that particular book for children includes introductions, personal hygiene and grooming, how to write invitations and thank you notes and telephone manners and all those wonderful things that will allow children to develop and to have wonderful social skills. Now, I'm also the author of What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? And that book is about key ingredients for building successful working relationships. And if you work, who can't use successful working relationships? Now, some of the contents of that particular book includes networking, how to have meetings, just basic common courtesies, technology in the workplace, business over lunch. Several different topics are covered in this book as well. And, of course, they can both be purchased online on our website at www.pagesetiquette.com, and that's www.pagesetiquette, that's PAIGESETIQUETTE.com. And there are also some CDs and other motivational materials that are available there as well. Now, for the new listeners to the show, I always like to begin by just talking a little bit about the origin of the word etiquette. Now, etiquette is a fancy word for manners, of course, but the word itself actually comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. And Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. Now, these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. And etiquette, I usually find a lot of people mispronounce the word and say etiquette. And, of course, I know the reason for that is because it's spelled E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E, and, yes, the Q does make the qu sound. However, since this word comes from a French word meaning ticket, then you say the word etiquette slowly, you hear yourself say ticket, etiquette. So knowing the origin of the word will prevent you from having to mispronounce the word etiquette again. And, of course, I always like to just say, if you have good etiquette, then you have the ticket to society. And who doesn't want to have the ticket to society? Well, once again, welcome to the talk show version of What is Etiquette Anyway? And, of course, the major purpose of this show is to make the world a polite place to live. Now, I must apologize to the callers who've been unable to get through the last few weeks. But good news, by popular demand, we have extended our show time from 7:30 to 8:15. So that is our new time because we want to be able to accommodate as many callers as possible. And, of course, for some reason, our pet peeve shows are always so very, very popular. Now, I wonder why that is. We all know why that is, don't we? Last week, some of the topics discussed were how parents can be more courteous. Of course, we talked about the situations regarding dropping children off at school, attending performances, and several other issues. And, of course, if you missed last week's show, you really missed a really, really good show. But nonetheless, we're glad that you are here with us this evening. I'd like to take an opportunity right now, and I would like to bring on our co-host for the evening. And she is certainly no stranger to what is etiquette anyway. She's an HR and customer service expert and a dear friend of mine who shares the same passion for etiquette. Her name is Denise. Denise, can you hear me?
Hi, Donna. How are you today?
I am well. And yourself?
I am doing very well.
Great. Aren't you excited that we've had extended our time? It is just so exciting. And, of course, we're going to be able to accommodate more callers. And, of course, as we look at our switchboard, it is packed. And,
oh, great. I know last week we ran out of time, and hopefully the last person who we were talking to, hopefully she called back again today to finish up. So I'm looking forward to this longer time. I think that will give us ample opportunity to try and take all the calls. And who knows, we may even extend it a little bit longer.
Yes, and we're, you know, it's so exciting to have more callers than you do have time, but, you know, opposed to just the opposite, you know, have more time than you do callers, so it's great. Well, of course, you know, Denise will discuss, will continue to discuss some of the issues that we talked about last week, and of course, some of your pet peeves. I will also discuss the disgraceful incident that happened in Memphis on June 20th, and for those of you that may not be, you know, familiar with it, and talking about how parents can be more courteous, and this is about the mom that coached her 8-year-old son to fight a 9-year-old, and of course, she jumps in and all of that. It was just incredible, but we'll talk a little more about that, and let me give you the website, actually. It's myfoxmemphis.com, because you guys will probably, if you haven't heard about it, you may want to take a look at the video. It is absolutely unbelievable. It absolutely is. Well, again, good evening, everyone. We are just so excited, and I think, Denise, we need to go ahead and open up our switchboard and bring on some of our callers. Hello. We have Tom Keating. Tom, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Donna. Denise.
Hi, how are you, Tom?
Good, thanks.
I am so excited, Tom, that you've called us back. You were on the show back in February. I can't believe it's been that long. But I know one of your pet peeves and passions is about public school restrooms. Let's talk about that. Just kind of give us some update on your thoughts about that now.
Well, associated with summer school, I have two pet peeves about restrooms. One is when we bring students, say high school students, in from 8 or 9 schools into one central location, and they're brought in, and sometimes they don't want to go to school in the summertime, sometimes they do, and they're rarely really welcome. There are no maps, there are no name tags, and the restrooms are too often left in disarray by administrators, particularly the last day, the last hours before the kids get there. So one of my pet peeves is administrators who neglect to help students who are new to a building. At the same time, a second pet peeve, particularly with summer school, is students come in and they'll get a nice lunch, and then they'll leave their trays in the cafeteria and just walk out with food going off to classrooms or to the bathrooms where they throw paper or bottles. So I have a real unhappiness when I see students who expect that adults are going to pick up after them. Part of that may be because they don't feel pride in the building, but I think it's more basic. They need to feel pride and self-esteem. So two of my pet peeves associated with summer school are administrators who don't have the restrooms ready for students, and students who leave trays in cafeterias, because if they leave a tray right in front of adults, you can imagine what they're going to do in a restroom where nobody's watching them. They don't throw the towels in the trash can. They don't flush. They don't wash their hands. So it all connects, and those are two of my pet peeves.
Absolutely. I thank you for sharing that. And I know you're talking about summer school, but I know this is the case as well throughout the school year, and it's just really, really incredible. And, you know, there really needs to be something, you know, done with that, about that. And, of course, Tom, I teach one of the components that I cover is bathroom etiquette, you know, as under, you know, one of the school etiquette topics. And it is incredible to me, and you may find this if you talk to some of the students as well, that, you know, when the students go into their bathroom, it's just really common at this point that they're going to find it in just terrible or horrible shape. And, tell me what you think about this. You know, I don't even think they would really think about even saying anything to administration because they've always seen it that way.
Unfortunately, and the reason why I focused on summer school is that more kids are in summer school this year due to some testing difficulties and due to the whole test industry, and it's a particular thing, but it does affect students year round, and there's no doubt that the conditions. And there's the tragic part. The student restrooms are for students. Only students abuse student restrooms. No teacher I've ever met goes into a student restroom and writes on the wall or tears something off the wall. And so the students are abusing their own restrooms for many reasons. And then they get immune to the conditions, or they don't even go in the bathrooms. So you have this health issue of kids who hold it in all day, who are supposed to be eating proper foods and drinking lots of water in the heat, and supposed to be attentive in class, and they're fidgeting, they're trying to go to the bathroom, and then they hold it in all day, run by their mama when they get home, and the whole thing is a mess. So it's beyond a pet peeve. It's actually a national disgrace.
Absolutely. And I agree, because I can remember when my son was in school, even when he was younger, he would come straight in and run, just make a beeline straight to the restroom. And I'm sure if we took a poll out there right now and we asked several parents, you know, to inquire about, you know, inquire with their child about the condition of their restroom, I'd be willing to bet at least 98% of the children would say that their bathrooms are dirty and they don't want to use them. And that is not good, just like you said, unable to eliminate. So that quite possibly can associate with, you know, these children not being able to focus and study or test at that point, because if you have to go and you feel that you can't go because it's just nasty, then, you know, that's a whole different situation. What can you, those listening, Tom, what can you suggest that we do in order to try to, you know, be advocates, of course, because these are our children, and I agree with you. I've traveled and had the opportunity to go in schools around the country, and it's really no different. It's pretty much everywhere. But what should we do?
Let's suppose you're in a middle or high school, and we know that when kids get that age, they are not always as eager to have the parents around as in elementary. So you have to find more creative ways, like you join the school council, you join the PTA, you go to booster clubs, you go to activities, you have basically informal chats with folks. But let's suppose your school has a PTA with a building and grounds committee. Chances are the building and grounds committee doesn't have a focus on restrooms. It could have a subcommittee on restrooms. Let's suppose your school council is there and it prepares a school improvement plan. It could have basically one of those components with practical activities that could be done to improve the conditions of the restrooms. Let's suppose you have a wellness policy, which every school district in America has. Well, it's one thing to have the kids eat more broccoli and do more calisthenics, but they ought to eat more good food and do more exercise and have better soap, towels, and tissue in the restroom. So you could join and look at the connection between the wellness. And lastly, the Boosters Club, that do all kind of good things, also could dedicate some of their, say, tithing, like 10% of their money for better facilities and better supplies, so that the athletes who are holding it in just like the other kids could have better locker room supplies and the public would have better restrooms. So those are four practical things that can be done without causing anybody any difficulty. It's just a matter of going in, working with the principal, working with the sponsors of clubs, working with the athletic department, and getting it done.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, Tom, I'm sure you'll join me in challenging, you know, all those that are out there listening. And it doesn't matter which state you're in because, you know, the situation is pretty much the same across the country. It's a national disgrace. But I would challenge everyone listening, whether you're a parent, you know, if you don't have children in school, then you certainly do know people that do. But I would challenge to take some of these ideas and suggestions that Tom has presented to us, and let's do something about this. And then, of course, as well, you know, talk to your children, too, and make sure that if they do use the restroom, you know, that they are taking and they're flushing the toilet and they are also, you know, making sure that they throw the paper towels in the trash can and not necessarily on the floor. Tom, thank you so much for joining us. I believe you are working with an organization, and maybe if people can kind of take a look at some additional information.
It's actually a service, and the service is offered through, if I may give the webpage.
Absolutely.
www.project-clean.com. And over on the left-hand side, you'll see something called publications, and they're all kind of documents. They're all free. They're all in PDF form. One of them that you could give to your school administrator is a checklist. I think it's the 13th one on that list. But lastly, going back to the original pet peeve, one of the things that ought to be done is that every school that has kids ought to be prepared for those kids to come in a day before they get there, whether it's over a weekend, a long weekend, a holiday, the winter holidays, or the summer. And parents can certainly, when they're registering kids, ask to see those restrooms. And lastly, when they're talking with their kids, I recommend that you ask them specific questions. Don't say, how are your restrooms? Because they may just shine you on. Say, do you have doors? Do you have locks on the doors? Are the restroom facilities functioning? Do you have soap, towels, tissue? Ask them specific questions. And then ask them to rank the restrooms. I always ask them to rank them. One is lousy, two's a little better, three's better, four is the best. And I find in my many, many years of caring about this that the American restrooms rate about two. And that is just dismal. So parents can do more than just simply forget about it. Kids can do more than be immune to it. Administrators can do more than just make excuses about how busy they are. We all could do something.
Tom, thanks so much again for calling in and just kind of updating us on the process. And I'm certain that we will be certainly talking with you again very soon. And thank you so much for your major concern with this and just kind of opening up everyone's eyes about it.
Well, thank you, Donna. I think that the manners that are involved and the ticket to health basically starts with toilet paper and tissue and soap, and it's very practical. We don't like to talk about it, but if we do, the kids will be healthier, and thank you for the opportunity to work with your colleague and this opportunity to share on your program.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Tom. Thanks again. Have a wonderful evening.
Night.
Bye.
Wow, Donna, that was interesting. I remember him being on before. That was so good to bring that up to parents, administrators, teachers, anyone involved or interested in making sure our children are a lot more healthy and that they do maintain their manners, because it can go a little bit farther than that. And even in the work world, people don't always do those things, and the facilities may not be as healthy for grown-ups, so it is something that we can look at a little bit further than just schools.
It's incredible. It is incredible, and, you know, we have to make sure that our children are taken care of. Thank you so much, caller, for holding on. We have a full switchboard. We're going to go ahead and bring on our next caller, and we do see all the callers there. Please hold on, and we will be, you know, with you as soon as you can. Hi. Hello, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hi, welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for calling. And tell us your name and where you're calling from, if you will.
Yes, I'm Hattie Andrews. I'm calling from Ellenwood, Georgia.
Okay. Please say hello to Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, Hattie. How are you?
I'm doing great today. Thank you.
Very good.
And what is your pet peeve?
I actually have two pet peeves. The first one is littering. I have this big thing I have about littering, especially in the vehicle. When you're driving, like, behind someone, and they just, they're, like, throwing, like, McDonald's bags out, or even as small as a cigarette, but, you know, the flame, the little light that's still there, that's just kind of, I don't know, I mean, I don't know where it's going to go. It's like this is going to burst my tires, it's going to hit my windshield. I just hate it so bad. And it's like, why can't you just leave those things or those items in your vehicle until you get to a trash can? Or why can't you just, you know, just why do you just throw it out and then we complain about how dirty our city is? So I hate this. That's one of my pet peeves. And the other one is leaving of doors. Doors being left open, cabinet doors. Just I'm going through the kitchen all the time, closing cabinet doors. I'm at the gym closing locker doors. It's just crazy. I don't like it. It's like, why can't you open it up and you use it? Why can't you have the decency to just close it when you're finished with it?
That's great. Those are great. And so, those certainly will give people, you know, something to think about.
Yes.
But those are certainly great, especially with the littering, because I join you with that. You don't know what's going to hit you. See it flying out the window, and you hope nothing hits you.
Right. Well, you can just hold it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I like to do personally is I have a little litter bag in my car.
Sure.
And you just drop your trash in your bag and then dispose it when you get home. Wouldn't that be simple enough to do?
Yes. Or the little pockets that's inside the vehicle. You know, most people use it for magazines or CDs or things like that. But you also can use them for little small pieces of trash that you may have, gum wrappers or candy wrappers that you just, you don't want to dispose of them outside your car. Because it just looks bad. All, you know, your city looks bad. You know, you have people having to clean up after you all the time because of it.
Right.
So.
Right. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're very welcome.
All of you out there listening, that you've tossed some straw paper or, you know, some trash out your window, Miss Hattie says stop it.
Right now.
Thanks again for calling. And,
thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to go to our next caller. Good evening, and thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway? Can you hear me, caller? Hello?
Hello?
Okay, thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway? How are you?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Hi, you're on. Can you hear me?
Yes. My name is Juan Johnson. I'm calling from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay. Hi, Juan. How are you?
I'm fine.
Great.
And one of my pet... Huh?
Oh,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you to say hello to Denise, my co-host.
Oh, how you doing, Denise?
Hey, how are you, Juan? Go ahead
I'm
with
fine.
Your pet peeve.
Well, my pet peeve is just like the first caller about bathroom. Well, it's basically people when you go into the bathroom and they don't flush the toilet. When you're like you're at home or you're over a friend's house or somebody comes to your house and they use your bathroom and they don't flush the toilet. And I have a real bad problem with that. I mean, why can't you flush the toilet when you get finished? I don't want to see what you just did.
Right.
I mean, for real, it's real nasty.
Yeah, that
and,
is.
You know, I just. That's just a real bad peeve with me.
Yeah, it's gross, isn't it?
Yeah,
it really
is.
I know when I'm teaching the bathroom etiquette with the little children, I always tell them to make sure to flush. I said, nobody needs to see your private, what you did. That's private. You know, nobody
right.
needs to look at that. So flush that stuff. And I mean, there aren't very many automatic flushers, you know, flushers. Every now and then you might see them in some establishments, but for the most part, no. But, yes, Juan, listen to Juan out there, everyone. Please, please take this a couple seconds and flush when you finish. Thanks, Juan, for sharing that. Appreciate
thank you.
That. And please call us again, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, good night. Okay, Denise?
Yes, Donna?
see if we
do we have any more callers out there?
Yes, we do. We have plenty. Let's see who we can go to. Hello, thanks for calling. What is etiquette anyway? Hello, can you hear me? Okay, let's try another caller. Hello, thanks for calling. What is etiquette anyway?
Hello.
Caller, can you hear me?
Hello.
Okay, let's try.
Hello.
Caller,
good morning. Oh, there's the caller.
Well, hello there. Thanks for calling. What is etiquette anyway? Could you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hello.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Can you hear me? I'm fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you tell me who you are and where you're calling from?
My name is Tawanda. I'm calling from Ellenwood, Georgia.
Well, hi, Tawanda. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. If you would, say hello to Denise as well.
How you doing, Denise?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Tawanda?
I'm fine,
so tell us,
ma'am.
Great. So tell us what your pet peeve is.
Oh, I have two pet peeves. One is when you hold the door open for somebody and they are too inconsiderate to tell you thank you, like you're supposed to hold the door open for them.
Yes, that is a good one.
Oh, I really hate that. My other pet peeve is whether you are at the bank or the grocery store, you need not to be on the phone when you are trying to talk to the person at the register. You need to hang up with whoever it is you're talking to and have them to call you back because you are holding up the line.
That is great. You're
Those are my two biggest pet peeves.
Well, those are mine as well. I don't know how Denise feels about that, but, yes, that is incredible. And I think we talked about a little bit of that when we were on one of the other shows.
Yes, we did, Donna. We did.
Yes, about, you know, and then, oh, I know what it was. I think there was a cashier that had said that oftentimes customers, you know, they get rude and irritated because they didn't hear what the cashier, the instructions that the cashier gave because they were on the phone. So they got mad because they didn't hear, and they were the one on the phone. So you're absolutely right. All of you out there, okay, make sure that once you approach the cashier, just discontinue your call until, you know, afterwards. And that's just common courtesy. And thank you so much for Tawanda for sharing that. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your call. And please call us back again.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jaden. Good to see you. Thank you.
Bye now.
You too. Bye-bye.
How interesting, Denise. This is great, 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 great. Okay, let's see if we can pull another caller. Our switchboards are just lit up totally. Hello, caller, can you hear me? Hello? Lisa?
Hello.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm okay, and yourself?
I'm doing well. Lisa,
how are you doing,
Denise?
Lisa?
Okay, how are you?
Yeah, I am doing great.
Lisa actually was on our show on last week.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yes, she was on the show last week, and she is an educator. And she was sharing with us about the stop, dropping, and rolling of the children. It's not the comedic side. We were talking about how parents can be more courteous. And she had some wonderful points. Lisa, I would like to take a moment and read this email. This came from one of the callers that was unable to get in on last week.
Okay.
She did send an email, and let me take a moment real quick. The email address is either info@pagesetiquette.com or D as in Donna, manners@bellsouth.net. And, of course, our call-in number is 347-324-3295. Okay, I'm going to read this email. It says, Miss Riley, I couldn't get through on the phone line, so I thought I'd email you. I am a kindergarten teacher in the New York City public schools, and I see the same problem with parents dropping off their children. Some parents seem to hurry their kids out of the car and push them into school where some other parents walk their children into the classroom, kiss them, and make sure they are okay. I thank the teacher that spoke about this issue. I commend her and hope parents will heed her advice. Thank you, Ms. Riley, for the forum you've created so we can discuss these issues. And it's M. Hamilton, New York City Schools. And if you would, Lisa, just kind of, for those, because I know we have several listeners that probably, you know, could not, that were unable to hear the show last week, if you can just kind of go over a couple of your main points that you were making, they can, you know, be able to actually tie in this email so they just kind of know what's going on.
I was saying that a pet peeve of mine was, I just coined it as stop, drop, and roll, where the car doesn't always stop and the parents are too busy to even tell the children goodbye. And because most times they're on the cell phone or they're in a hurry and they just drop them off, and then these kids come up the hallway to the teachers upset. And it only takes a few seconds to give them, you know, bye, have a good day, give them a little kiss or something. And it makes a difference for the teacher. That's how it starts the child's morning off. If they come in upset, most times it's because the parent didn't say bye to them like they want them to say to them. And on another end to that, it's also has to do with administration, because prior to me being into the school that I'm in, a lot of times administration didn't kind of welcome the parents to come in and walk their children to the classroom. It was okay, leave them at the door, and they're big boys and girls, let them walk to the classroom. And it's not the point of that they're big boys and girls, it's just letting them know that mommy's there or daddy's there, whoever is walking them to the classroom, that, okay, I'm dropping you here and putting you in good hands, and I'll be back, or I'll see you later. We're in a society that's in a rush to do everything and don't take children's, you know, feelings into consideration.
And I thought that was so interesting, just that you had brought up the fact that with little kids, a lot of times, you know, we don't think, when they're a certain age, when they're small like that, they even really know what's going on or they notice. So I thought that was really interesting and informative for you to make those observations and to share those. So, you know, as parents and just adults, period, we have to be very conscious, you know, of what we do and our behavior in front of them, because they do, you know, even though they may be small and they may not necessarily be able to verbalize their feelings, but it's just such a great point that you made by letting parents know that these children really do know what's going on and they're observing. And I know oftentimes you're dropping your children off, and this is at any age. I would always, for example, I mean, I would always tell my son, I mean, even if I dropped him off, you know, to go to high school, I would always, you know, make sure I tell him, you know, I love you, have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And however your day starts, you know, because we actually set that stage for the children. You know, if you're having a rush morning, hurry up, get up, oh, we're running late, blah, 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 blah. This is going to be something that's going to affect, you know, the children for the rest of the day. That morning sets the standard for the day. Would you agree with that, Ms. Lisa?
I sure do. I see it every day when the kids come in, and you can tell what kind of morning that some children have. And you can say, okay, did you and mommy, something happened? Did mommy upset you? And they're like, And it's amazing that I understand that you kids can't have everything they want in the mornings, but sometimes we have to be mindful of the way that we talk to the kids, because that does set the tone for that child in the morning. And it's hard on the teacher trying to get that child, because some things can maybe wait until later on to, you know, to discuss with them or get angry with them. And just your tone with your child in the morning makes a difference.
And they certainly do notice. Listen, I don't know if you heard about that news story that just absolutely made me nauseous. The situation that happened in Memphis. Did you guys happen to, did you hear about that it was last week, there was a parent of an 8-year-old, okay, and she was coaxing her little boy to fight another little boy, okay, he was 9 years of age, and, you know, so they say the little boy did not want to fight. Okay, But Mom was there, and, you know, I saw it. It's just on the video. You know, you can pull it up. It's on the video. But she was just kind of coaxing him, you know, to do that. Well, he didn't really want to do it, so it looked as though that he may have been, you know, he wasn't getting the best out of the fight himself. So, therefore, Toss was just following the standard of us talking about how parents can be more courteous. Not only did she coax him, but, you know, obviously with her coaching, that he was not doing, you know, the best job that she perhaps thought he should. So what do you think she did at that point, in case you all didn't hear about the story?
I didn't, yes. Donna. What did she do?
She jumped in.
Oh, my goodness.
Jumped in, and she started, you know, fighting this little boy.
Oh.
Well, of course, you know, after all of that was over, she was arrested. And then what happened to her, and by no means do I advocate violence. However, she said, this is, you know, the mother said that when she got home, she was attacked and beaten by 40 of her neighbors.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Okay, so, you know, what's your take on that story?
Whew, that's heavy. that's really deep. I mean, I've had instances where parents have been arrested out here in the county that I live in at baseball games because mothers got into it on opposing teams.
Right.
And they made the front news of the papers and the local news. Fighting over, you know, children's things. And my take on that is my parents and my grandparents have told me kids are going to go on, they're going to fight, they're going to argue, but they're going to turn around and they're going to play. We as adults sometimes have to let kids muddle through their own, get their own act together. And for an adult to jump on another child, that would be wrong. And you need to think about how would you feel if it was your child and an adult was jumping on your 7 or 8 year old child.
Mm-hmm.
We just get too much into children. Children, like, they're going to go back and play while adults will still be mad. And then what you're fighting over, it's minor things. I can take case in point out here over a baseball game. One team was winning. The other mother was, you know, just clapping, I guess. The other one didn't like how, you know, she was going on about her team winning versus the other one. And they got into a fight.
Yes, I think I remember that or something like that. That is really crazy. It's ridiculous. The parents get too involved and to a point where it's not even fun anymore for the kids.
Yeah, but what are we teaching our kids? If somebody doesn't agree with my point of view, then we're going to fight about it. That's why we're different people, and we have to learn that.
It is absolutely incredible to me. I remember that I wrote an article called Parents, It's Only a Game. And that was regarding some, you know, there were for a while there, several years ago, there were major incidents, you know, regarding children's sports.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just said, Denise, you just said that a lot of times parents get so caught up and they just get so into it. And the bottom line is, it's only a game.
That's right.
You know, we've seen coaches beat up, you know, and this is by parents.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if you guys remember the Nancy Kerrigan.
Yes.
Incident, the ice skater. Right.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Incredible. It's just unbelievable.
And Tonya Harding.
Right.
Oh.
Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, what happened with that situation. But it is absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, when I see incidents like that, I just always, you know, think that what type of example are we setting? And not just as parents, but as adults. How can we expect children to act any different than us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're behaving inappropriately. And some of the other comments, of course, Lisa, that you had last week, we were talking about performances. and just making sure when you attend your children's performances, you're not just attending that child, but everybody that is a part of that performance deserves the same common courtesy that you gave your children, and not just to simply get up, you know, after your child. And I saw it. I saw it all every year during the event that I went to when my son was in school. And it would just kind of do something to me. Remember the chalkboards or the blackboards back in the day?
The nails.
It was like, right, yes. You know how you just take your nails and go down, you know, the chalkboard. That's just kind of, you know, it has always done that to me. And, you know, and it's just, it almost seems normal because you see it so much. But, of course, once again, the reason for doing this show is trying to make the world a polite place to live, and just trying to make sure that people are at least conscious, you know, of what they're doing. And it's just so, so important. I also spoke with one of the high school, she's a high school administrator, and she didn't know if she would be able to call in tonight or not, but she was a high school administrator. She did catch the show on last week, and she was saying that, you know, it was great to see if we can get the parents to, you know, be cognizant of what they're doing when they're dropping their children off at their small, then hopefully by the time they get to the high school level, you know, these kids are, you know, they're doing pretty well, and they're pretty stable as far as that, you know, that connection. But she thought it was quite interesting, Lisa, that you brought that point as well, because, you know, of course, dealing with high school students, you know, they know and they can tell you what they like or what they dislike, and they will call you out on, you know, various things. But, of course, with the younger children, and I just keep stressing that because it's just such good information. A lot of times we kind of brush them off when they're small and say, oh, they don't know what's going on. And that is not necessarily the case, as we found out. So that is just really, really interesting. And, Lisa, I certainly, you know, once again want to thank you for sharing that information and, you know, making people really think about, you know, what they're doing and what's going on. And again, I want to commend all the parents out there that are just doing a great job, and, you know, they're making sure that they are being polite as possible in front of their kids and being a great role model and, you know, being loving and kind. And that's what's going to, you know, that's what it's going to take to make sure that these children, you know, develop into kind and courteous individuals. So we certainly do thank you. And we're going to be, you know, we'll talk about this on other shows in the future. And certainly feel free to call in with your comments, 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295. And, of course, Lisa, again, let me thank you so much for listening and for calling in. And call us, you know, anytime. And, you know, be more than happy to take your call. And your information has been great.
Thank you for having me.
And you're quite welcome. And good night. Thanks for your time.
Good night.
Well, Denise, very interesting, huh?
Very interesting. That was good timing.
Absolutely. I want to say we are running out of time again. Of course, you know, we want to remind you all that you've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show version. And thank you so much for your calls. Please continue to call in or email us at dmanners@bellsouth.net or info@pagesetiquette.com. And we encourage you every week, and this week is no different, to feel good about yourself, be considerate of others, and be the best you can be. And, of course, in that order, because if you don't feel good about yourself, you're not going to be considerate of others. And when you're not considerate and courteous to others, then you're not being the best that you can be. And oftentimes we always say that it is just nice simply to be nice. And Denise and I thank you again for joining
us. You're so welcome.
Please join us next week for another episode of the talk show version, What is Etiquette Anyway? Good night and God bless.
Good night.